At every Mass, we hear the words of St. John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. And we remember the other words that St. John spoke. I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God. With these words, St. John the Baptist gave witness to the question every human needs to answer. The question Jesus posed to his disciples and to us with these words. Who do you say that I am? St. John the Baptist's testimony was this. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God. Later on, Jesus Christ gave witness to who he is himself. One thing he spoke about was his relationship with the truth. He said, for this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone is of the truth who hears my voice. He also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, truth is so important to God that he was willing to come down from heaven and to take on our human nature, to suffer and to die on the cross. Truth was so important to him that to bear witness to the truth, he said, I will die because I want my people to know the truth. I came into the world, he says, for this reason, to bear witness to the truth. And he stretched out his arms and hung upon the cross. That is how important truth is to Jesus Christ. And it's because truth is so important that lying is so evil. And that is why God gave us the 8th commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. We can ask ourselves, how might I have sinned against this commandment? Have I said something to someone with the intention of deceiving them? Have I said something that I knew was not true? Am I guilty of rash judgment, that is, of judging others without adequate knowledge? Have I spread rumors when I didn't know whether or not they were true? And they could have harmed someone's reputation. And yes, this even includes what I spread online. In an age of fake news, I am responsible if I don't check it and spread it. If I have lied, you can't say, well, somebody else is the one who wrote it. I just shared it. Yeah, you shared it. That's the lie. Have I injured someone's good name? And if I have I failed to try to restore their name? To bring back, to do away with that damage to their reputation? Am I guilty of detraction? That is, unnecessarily sharing what is true, but what is not needed to be known about somebody else, ruining their reputation? Have I revealed secrets that should have been kept confidential? Have I talked negatively about somebody behind their back? Have I been negative or critical or uncharitable in my thinking about someone? For our Lord Jesus does not simply want our exterior actions to be conformed to the truth, but he wants our heart to be conformed to the truth. That we would think what is true and good and beautiful. Not simply lying to ourselves and saying, well, I didn't say anything wrong, it's just in my thoughts. God cares about your thoughts. We can ask ourselves, have I cheated in games, in school, at work, in other areas of life? Have I spoken unkindly to or about someone? Have I exaggerated the truth? Have I been guilty of bragging or boasting or flattery of someone else? All of these sins would come under the heading of bearing false witness against my neighbor. Jesus describes lying as the work of the devil. He said to those who sinned against him, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." I remember once in my last parish at the youth group speaking about the commandments and talking about this eighth commandment and saying that lying is a sin. And one of the high school students said, "But Father, everybody lies. It can't be a sin, right? Everybody's lying." And I remember looking at him and thinking, everybody is doing something wrong, and so that makes it okay? We're going to redefine what's wrong based off of what people do? "But Father." "But Son, lying is wrong." Next week, we will find ourselves on Palm and Passion Sunday. And in the Gospel, we'll have the Passion account. And we'll find ourselves in that moment, that terrible moment, when Pilate stands before his people and he presents to them two options. He says, "Do you want Jesus or do you want Barabbas?" And perhaps as we hear that name, we might think of its etymology. Bar, the son of. Abbas, Abba, Father. Pilate may not have recognized what he was saying, but he was telling the people, you have to choose. Who is your father? Do you want Jesus, the son of the eternal father? Or do you want Barabbas, the son of the father of lies? The choice is yours. We know the choice, Pilate said, as he flippantly said to Jesus, "What is truth?" I choose what is popular, what is politically expedient, what won't hurt me. I care not to testify to the truth. You and I, in every thought, word, and action, we have the tremendous responsibility to choose. To whom will I bear witness? To the truth? Or will I bear false witness? Will I choose to bear witness to the truth, to God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ? Or will I bear false witness, thus making myself an heir to the father of lies? Will I join with the majority and cry out, "Give us Barabbas"? Or will I stand with John the Baptist, who had his head chopped off for saying, "Give me the truth. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus"? We say this every time we speak the truth, every time we think the truth, whether the truth is of science or math, political science, in the workplace, at home, or in religion. Jesus has identified himself as, "I am the truth." Any truth we speak is speaking Jesus, is saying, "Give me Jesus. I do not want the father of lies. I want the father of life and love and truth. I want the God who is Logos, reason, and truth itself." throughout this season of Lent, we have now examined all 10 of God's commandments, those words of life spoken originally by God to Moses and given to his people, so that they might walk away from slavery of sin and walk towards the promised land, which you and I know is not simply the Holy Land of Israel, but the promised land of heaven. He gives us the commandments to set us free from sin so that we might walk with Jesus towards heaven. And I hope that you have walked with those 10 commandments this season of Lent. If you've missed one of the homilies, all of them except for this one are online. And soon this one will be too. Go back and review them. I pray that you have examined your conscience and seen where you have fallen short of the perfection to which Christians are called by Jesus. I pray that each of you has found ways in which you can cry out, "Have mercy on me, O just judge, for I am a sinner." I pray that you might find yourself identifying with the woman in today's gospel. A sinner standing before Jesus. Because when we identify ourselves as sinners, there's no reason to despair. God is quick to forgive those who ask for mercy. And he will help us to be honest. Jesus came to bear witness to the truth, and he wants to help us to do the same. He said, "If you continue in my word, you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." My brothers and sisters, in these final 2 weeks of Lent, come and be honest with God in the sacrament of forgiveness. Come and let the light of truth shine on your sins in the sacrament of the confessional. Time out for an infomercial. During the season of Lent, we added extra confession times. Monday at 11, Monday at 2, Monday at 7. Wednesday at 11, Wednesday at 7. Friday at 11, Friday after Stations of the Cross, which are at 7:30, so more or less 8 o'clock. Saturday at 3:30. Or if none of those times work, give us a call. One of the priests will be able to hear your confession. And this Wednesday, Bishop Burbage will be coming to our parish in the evening, and in that evening time, to hear your confession. So don't embarrass us by letting the lines be short. Fill up the church. Bishop is coming. He wants to see the repentant people of St. Timothy's. He wants you to experience the truth of Jesus looking at you and saying, "I do not condemn you. Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more." For if we know and live the truth, not only will we be free, but the church, the body of Christ, will grow. We are painfully aware at this time of the sins of those who have not walked in the truth, of those who have not lived the truth. And so often we ask ourselves, what can I do in response to that? And certainly there are practical and mundane things which we can do. But let us not pretend that simple, mundane, worldly responses will be the solution to a problem which is a contention with sin, a contention with evil. The only solution that will actually work is a return to holiness, a return to truth. And you and I can contribute to that by becoming holy ourselves. Through prayer, the sacrament of confession, Eucharistic adoration, and becoming one who walks in the truth of who Jesus is and who he calls us to be, of being, you and I, his faithful witnesses. If we do this, we build up the body of Christ, as St. Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, with which I wish to conclude this homily. Talking about Jesus Christ, St. Paul writes, "And he gave some as apostles, others as prophets, others as evangelists, others as pastors and teachers, to equip the holy ones for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the extent of the full stature of Christ, so that we may no longer be infants tossed by waves and swept along by every wind of teaching arising from human trickery, from their cunning and deceitful scheming. Rather, living the truth in love, we should grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, with the proper functioning of each part, brings about the body's growth and builds itself up in love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen."